So we are to Matthew chapter 16, and we are going to start in verse 13. And I kind of want to pick up where we were talking about a little bit when I ministered on Palm Sunday. I kind of want to go back there a little bit and start hitting on a few of those things again, but go a couple of different places. So before we do that, Father, I submit myself to you, and I thank you, Lord, for this word. Father, I thank you that you will think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. Father, I thank you that every word that you have for me to say tonight will be anointed by you, and that I will speak through you. And every word that you have for each individual who will listen to this message to hear, that it penetrates their hearts and they clearly hear what it is that you're saying to them. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Matthew 16, verse 13, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question. What are the people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe that I am? And they answered, some are convinced you are John the Baptizer. Others say you are Elijah, reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simeon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Hallelujah. I mean, just reading that scripture gets me fired up. I don't know. Hallelujah. So we are, the name of my message tonight is the Bedrock Foundation. The bedrock foundation of the gospel we preach is the Anointed One and his anointing. He tells us in this scripture, he's talking to Peter, and he says to him, you are rock. And he says a small rock if you look at it in the Greek. But this is the rock, the big rock, which I will build my church on. And that is the rock of revelation. The revelation which I will build my church on is that he is the Anointed One, and his anointing is at work, and the Son of the Living God. Amen? And so, specifically here, like we talked about on Palm Sunday, the word church here is, again, the word ecclesia. And we see that translated out here. That's one reason I like this translation, is it says, my legislative assembly. We are called to be legislators in this earth. We are called to be, I'm not talking about you have to go run for office. If you're called to do that, do it. If I don't disclose that, Miss Joy might come up here and say it for me. So if you are called to do it, do it. But you are absolutely called as a child of God to the legislative assembly of the body of Christ. Amen? And so the ecclesia, I'm going to recap a few things that I said for anyone who didn't hear it. They are his precious appointed governing body in respect of towns, cities, and regions, and that is still how Jesus sees us today. He sees us as that governing authority. He views every local church that way. Each body of believers has its own specific assignment, which we can see identified in the bodies of Christ here within our area. We see that different churches are called to different things, and that's the way that it's supposed to be. And so, and each believer is assigned to a specific ecclesia. All local bodies fit within a larger common purpose, that of furthering the kingdom of God on this earth by equipping the saints and being an influence of God's truth and righteousness to a lost world. Hallelujah. So we are called to an ecclesia. We are called to a local church. We are called to be part of a body. And with that, this is the place where you come get your strategic planning. This is the place where you come get your plans. This is the place where you come get the download, and you become equipped to go out and do ministry out at your post. So when I was going over this with the Lord, I saw the picture, and I was not in the military, but I saw the picture of a military movie where they're all standing over the map and everybody's looking at where each person's going to go, and they all come together, all the masterminds come together, they make the plan, they're scoping it all out, they're getting it all where it's going to be, but each person is going to go to their post. They're not going to stand there and the only place that they take the battle plan is at the table where it's mapped out. They're going to take that out to their post and they're going to go do it in the field. That's what we're called to do as this legislative body. We're to come together, we're to get together, we're to be equipped for a purpose, and then we're each to go out into our post, go out to where we're called to be, and we're to minister to the people. Amen? And so we are now the ecclesia, the governing body in this earth. The devil and his resources must respond to our authority. We have been placed in a position of authority. They are required to respond to our authority. The only requirement we have is to know whose authority we're operating in. When you are operating in yourself, when you are operating in your flesh, when you're operating out of your mind, you are no match for the enemy. That is not where the authority lies. That's not where you're going to hold your position. That's not even where you're going to, gain ground or hold your position. If you're trying to come against the enemy in your flesh and in your mind, you're moving backwards, because that's his playing field. It's when you recognize in whose authority you're operating in, I'm getting ahead of myself, but whose authority you're operating in, that's when you're going to begin to gain ground. That's when you're going to begin to take territory. That's when you're going to be able to see what you expected victory to look like to manifest in your life. So authority is the power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. That's your thought, your opinion, and your behavior. It is not your job to control someone else's thoughts, to control someone else's opinion, or to control someone else's behavior. It is your job to have authority over your thoughts and your opinion and your behavior, and then you are able to be an asset in the ecclesia. Amen? Glory to God. Authority is the power and right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. This is our ground-taking territory of how we operate in the spiritual realm. When we're operating in the spirit, we give orders. We make decrees. We make declarations. We take the word of God, and we set those things forth into the earth. We also make decisions. It is our job as the body of Christ to begin to make decisions in the spiritual realm. We can't just let things happen and expect someone else to do the work. We can't just focus on Jesus coming back and deal with whatever is coming until then. But hallelujah, someday we get to be raptured. That's not who he called us to be. He didn't call us to be for someone who just waits until he comes back. Now, don't get me wrong. I can't wait till the day and I'm in full expectation that I am not going to go by the grave, but that I'm going in the rapture. Fully sold out and believe that. But that's not my purpose in this earth right now. My purpose in this earth right now is that I enforce the authority that he's given to me. Amen? So how do we walk in the foundation of who God has called us to be? And this is where we're getting to. We recognize, one, that he is the anointed one. And number two, his anointing is on you. So he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" This is the question that you need to ask yourself. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you know him as? Not who do I know him as? Not who does Pastor Rocks know him as? Not who does Kenneth Copeland know him as? Who do you say that Jesus is? It's important for you to know individually who it is that he is to you. Who is he revealed himself to you as? Because that's what it says. It comes by supernatural revelation. The difference of an intimate knowing of the Son of God is the difference between what they said and what I know. They said that he was a prophet. They said that he was John the Baptist. So there's no question. They had a total understanding that he was someone special, which doesn't even feel like a good enough word. They recognized even that he was called by God. But they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. They didn't recognize him as the deliverer. They didn't recognize him as the anointed one. They began to have a personal understanding of who he was to them. Amen? And so when you recognize him as the Messiah, as the anointed one, as everything that he is, it's fully encompassing everything. This is actually only half, so I really wanted to reference the Old Testament. That's not even in this Bible. But every time they referenced the name of God, they used El, which means all of his creative work, or Yah, which means all of his redemptive work. Well, when he came as Jesus, I am that I am, he took everything that had ever been promised by a name of God and called it into one name. Jesus the Messiah. If they began to recognize everything that he was available in, that's how they began to walk in the authority and the power that God called them to. That's how he began to walk out. He is that he is. I am that I am says that it's nothing about the past. It's nothing about the future. Right now, I am fulfilling everything you need. Right now, I am everything that you need. Right now, I am already dwelling on the inside of you is everything that you need. May I use you as an example? I'm going to use Alan as an example. He doesn't even know, but I think it's an excellent example. So Alan could have heard that Jesus was the healer. He could have heard that healing was available to him. He could have heard that there was a possibility that healing could have happened. He could have even heard the scripture, by his stripes we were healed. He could have heard of the miracles that happened in the Bible. But if he hadn't seen the moment when Jesus stepped on the inside of him and became the healer, there would have never been a reception of healing. Because he then knew intimately on the inside of him, this healer lives in me. The word was so alive, literally the word in flesh, you know, in person form, was so alive on the inside that you were able to recognize the walking out of who he was. You see, when you're reading this word and confessing the word and reading scriptures and going over them day by day, you aren't just doing that so that you can get the word in the atmosphere. You are bringing to life the word that dwells on the inside of you. The word Jesus himself that dwells on the inside of you, manifesting from the inside of you. He lives within you. Jesus himself lives within you. So when you are reading the word, you're realizing in your mind, this is who he is to me. He is my healer. He is my source. He is my supply. He is everything that I need because he's here on the inside of me. So I'm not trying to receive it from the outside in. I'm getting ahead of myself again. Bless the Lord. I'm pushing it from the inside out. Amen. Your understanding of who Jesus is pulls you deeper to the inside story. When I was a little girl, my great-grandma, Grandma Revolt, she was something. This is not the story that I was going to tell you, but she was really feisty. One time, they had what they called the little house, and it's the house my mom grew up in, and someone was trying to get in there because it was on a piece of a survey picture of some property they were going to buy. This woman, she was like 80 years old. She took her plastic bat and went over there trying to chase them off the property. So she is a feisty thing. Now she's in glory. I got the opportunity to be there the day before she went home so I could tell her about it. She lives in Michigan, lived in Michigan. So that was a special blessing for the Lord. Anyways, she had a police scanner when I was a little girl. And so if any of my cousins or anyone got in trouble, Grandma had the inside scoop. Grandma knew everywhere that the police were going, everywhere the ambulance was going, everywhere the fire trucks were going, and those things were going off all the time. She had the inside story. When you know the who of who Jesus is, you have the inside story. You don't have to watch the news and find out what's going on in the earth. You don't have to watch the politics and find out what's going on. You are operating with the inside story. You're operating on a spiritual level, hearing in the spirit realm of what's taking place in the spirit. Did anyone watch Flashpoint last night? Last night, Representative Lauren Boebert was there. She's from Colorado. Oh, that is awesome in itself. She is from Colorado. She is a gun-toting representative. And, man, she lit my fire. I just about got up and ran around the living room. Jordan looked at me. I was like, yes, yes. And he was like, what is happening? This is supposed to be like a news program, you know, but it was so awesome. She began to preach. She began to preach Hebrews 11:1 and how faith is about the unseen and how there's something happening in the spiritual realm. And we don't need to watch about what's just going on in Washington, but we need to watch what's going on in the spiritual realm. So all of that to tell you, when you have that relationship with God, she knows she was called to that office for a purpose. She said, I never wanted to do politics, but I knew when God told me I needed to step in this place that I had to do what he was calling me to do. Why? Because she had a spiritual understanding of what was going on. She had a spiritual understanding that something was happening in the spirit realm, and I need to be a part of this, and I need to move in my position, and I have to do my part, and I have to step into that place. Amen? You have to recognize him as the promise, the fulfillment of your promise, the Messiah, and everything that you could ever need. Amen? You must have an intimate knowing of Jesus. I know that I preach about an intimate knowing of Jesus nearly every time that I get up here, because it is my call. When pastor calls me to bring the word to you, to equip the saints, there is not one work that you can do with the anointed one or the anointing if you don't know him. So when you leave this building, how are you going to go minister to people if you don't know the man you're ministering about? It is so important that you know him. It's so important that you make time for him, that you build relationship from him, and you can't just allow someone else to connect you to him. Can you imagine if the only way I could talk to my husband is if I called Art to talk to my husband for me? Like, first of all, awkward intimacy for sure. second, how would you ever make that connection? Because I'm knowing Art, who knows my husband then. You can't ever know Jesus because I know Jesus. You have to intimately know him for yourself. You have to know who he is for you. It's not good enough for you to just know that he was sent here by God. It's not good enough for you to just know that he was able to prophesy or to do miracles. You have to intimately know him as your Lord and your Savior. How do you do that? Read the Word. Why do you read the Word? Because it is him. It says the Word became flesh. How do you know the Holy Spirit? He's the one who inspired the writers of the Word. When you hear and read the Holy Spirit, you hear him more clearly because you can see what he's speaking. Amen? Glory to God. Okay, that was free. We must be clothed from the inside out. So we talked about Jesus himself placed on the inside of us. We see with every other animal there is. Sorry, I need to do better at looking at the time. We see with every animal that's ever been created that they are clothed how? From the inside out, right? They have fur that comes from the inside of them out. Why would we be any different? Our spirit man is what should clothe us. Our spirit man that has the anointed one and his anointing on the inside of us is what should clothe us. That's why we see when people who have a dead spirit, that the fruit of that is what's birthed out. That's what they're wearing. That's what it appears to be. Amanda was talking about when we were on Facebook today that when you drive into a place, you can feel a different presence based on where you enter. And that atmosphere is what they have almost clothed themselves in. The community of what they've clothed themselves in. If you've went into somewhere that's very poverty mindset, you can sense that when you pull in. You can tell in the atmosphere that it's that way. Can it change? Absolutely. How do they change? Changing the inside and bringing it out. The more you build yourself up on the inside, the more you will see yourself clothed in it. The anointing is oftentimes used as like just a compliment. Oh, that was so anointed. Did you see that singer on American Idol? Man, that was so anointed. Was it? We can't use it as just a compliment. Now, it could have been. It could have been their God-given talent being poured out from the inside of them out. Absolutely. But if the anointing is at work, then that means it'll be removing burdens and destroying yokes. So if that wasn't taking place, then the anointing wasn't at work. And so we can't train our spirit to call something that it's not. We must train our spirit to call the anointing for what the anointing is. We must train our spirit to call the anointing of God and look to the anointing of God, that we're able to step into our God-given plan and walk out what he's called us to do. 1 John 2:27 says, "The anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." The anointing is not saying that you don't, or this passage rather, let's go there first, is not saying you don't need a teacher, a pastor, a preacher, or someone to speak into your life. What it is telling you is that the anointing will teach you when your yes is his yes, and when your no is his no. That's what the anointing is calling you to do. The anointing says, if on the most basic, primary, simplest level, it is your the Jesus dwelling on the inside of you, witnessing to you the yes to be his yes and the no to be his no. Amen? There are things that the anointing will lead you into and cause you to do that you aren't even fully equipped to do in the natural. But as you allow his yes to be your yes and his no to be your no, you advance and move into those things. When I was 19-ish, 19, 20, something like that, I had the opportunity to step into a supervisory position. And I was managing a branch. It was a brand new branch. And it just so happened that my branch manager, I hope you're watching this, my branch manager at the time said she was going to go have a baby while we were opening the branch. So I am about to go from a non-management position to a management position where I'm going to manage 10-ish people, plus I'm opening a brand new branch, I'm getting everything set up, I'm getting the money ordered, I'm getting a credit union branch, for anyone who didn't know that, getting everything done to set up this bank, and I'm a 19-year-old, 20, I think maybe I was 20, someone can figure that out later. Anyways, getting ready to set all of this up with no knowledge. What I did not realize until I was much older is I was filled with the Holy Ghost at 18. And while I didn't know how to use it in the way that I should, that anointing was operating in my life. And I was able to walk in anointings and giftings that I didn't even know I had, and have ideas and concepts and things happening in my life that God had called me to do that I just had no idea I was using. I thought, man, this is awesome. I just get it every time and I have no idea how. The anointing of God is how. So if that's you, recognize that. but there were things that were just so, they came natural to me. It was easy to me. And when it wasn't easy for other people, I was like, I don't understand. Like, this is, and finally one day Pastor said, "Danny, that's one of your giftings. It's the anointing. It's operating in you because it's part of who you are." And I was like, "Oh, well, praise the Lord, that makes a whole lot more sense why this is working." That's how the anointing operates. You've been called to things, and there's giftings and anointings placed on the inside of you that you're able to move and walk out and do those things and walk those things out simply because God equipped you that way. Amen? All right, we're going to move quicker. Glory to God. So with this, we try to figure things out on our own, and when we try to figure things out on our own, the anointing is absent. So if you're not flowing in his yes being your yes and his no being your no, then the anointing is absent. You can recognize this immediately because there's toil, it's burdensome, and it's going to be hard. The moment you get into a place where you feel like you have to be totally and completely fed only by adrenaline, and that you are having to push every day, it's time for you to step back and look at where your yes stop being his yes and your no stop being his no. And when you find that place, you will step into that place, you'll walk into the blessing. Amen? So, let's get to you. Amen? You have a place. You have a place, and you have a place within the ecclesia. You are anointed. This isn't for a minister. This isn't for just a pastor, a prophet, a preacher. This is for you. You have been anointed, you have been called, and you've been called to a place. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter anything other than that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Too often we look as anointed people as only people who take a platform. Nope, that's absolutely not the truth. You are anointed. There is an anointing dwelling on the inside of you. It's on the inside of you because it needs to pour out and come into our community. It's on the inside of you because it has to overflow and like a sponge. When you bring a sponge, everything that it's filled with will come out. So you have to fill yourself up and be so aware of that anointing that it's pouring out. Amen? And so the more you recognize the anointing of God, listening to his yeses and his noes, the more you will find your place and your position within the body of Christ. If you feel like the anointing is not operating in your life, and I am aware that this is going to be tough, so just don't throw tomatoes, okay? If you do not feel that the anointing is working in your life, make sure you're connected to the body. If you don't know what you're called to do, if you don't know where you're called to be a part, that's okay. Start by starting. When there is a call, you come. When there's an opportunity, you show up. And eventually, you will find your place, you'll find where you're supposed to be, and you'll say, oh, this feels right. Yep, this feels right. This is where I'm supposed to be. And you begin to know that, and it's not because someone else's attention's on you. It's because that yes becomes his yes, and that no becomes his no, and you're able to comfortably fit there. One of the greatest examples, you're going to love me. One of the greatest examples of this was Shadrach. When Shadrach came here, she said, Danny, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. And it got where I was like, as a leader, I just need you to make sure you're getting fed and getting it. And she said, but I need to know where I fit. And so she would just throw herself into everything, which is exactly what I'm talking about. But she was able to identify, I really like this. This is what I'm really good at. This is what I really enjoy doing. And we began to able to find her exactly where it was that she felt most comfortable. Now, what she doesn't do is she doesn't ever say no when we need her help somewhere else. Because we're all called, we're all led to be a part, to be a fit, and to lead a hand. To lend a hand, not lead a hand. Glory to God. So, you will find your place. You will know exactly where you need to be. And one of the greatest things I heard, this stuck with me. It said, be you because everyone else is taken. And I think this is one of the biggest distractions that we have is we start trying to be someone else because we see the attention they receive. We see the recognition they get. We see, well, it works so well for them. Look what it's doing for their life. Oh, well, look, if I could just do this, if I could just be like them. No. You have to be you because what they're experiencing in that position, you're not going to experience in that position if you're not called there. And there's ways that we convey things, and there's ways that we move, and there's ways that we speak to people, and there's ways that we do things that just won't fit if we try to take someone else's path. We have to take our own path. Amen? The next thing I want to talk to you about is, oh good, that page is already done. I'm way closer than I thought. Just kidding, that was the wrong page. Oh, that was awesome. Sorry. So when you come to the body of Christ, it's so important. The reason that we have to operate those things is she came to me and she said those things, Shadrach, speaking of her, is because you get yourself into a place. Well, my place is under Pastor Roxanne. And whatever she tells me to do, wherever she tells me to be, whatever she tells me to say, if she told me to come up here and quack like a duck to y'all this today, thank you, Jesus, she didn't. It probably would have been really difficult on my flesh, but I would have done it. She wouldn't do that. But So, No, but you have to be submitted to the head of the church. That's who we're called to be. She's our leader. She is the head of this place. She's the one who directs the ship. She's the one who calls the vision. And all of our vision should submit to her vision. We've preached about that before, so I'm not going to go far and deep into that. But what happens when you submit to her is the anointing comes from the head down. So just like it comes from Jesus onto the body, it comes from the head of this ministry down. Well, what's amazing about that? Not only then are you receiving Pastor Roxanne's anointing when you go out into these streets, when you go out into that place and you can operate in what she's able to operate in, but also the anointing of Brother Copeland, of whom she submits herself to, the anointing of Oral Roberts, who he submitted himself to, and Brother Kenneth Hagin, who he submitted himself to, those anointings come down and you're able to step in and move in those things. So as you submit yourself to the head of this church, as you are able to step into all of the things that she's calling us to do as a body, we're able to individually operate in that anointing. Amen? So when you submit yourself to a leader, you are allowing a flow of the anointing to come through you. It opens the door for you to receive input and wisdom not available in the same measure when you're not submitted. So we are called to be the ones within our atmosphere to bind and loose. That's who we're called to be. I wanted to take that little side note of submission, but that's who we're called to be as a whole. When we submit to that place, we're able to do that with the authority that has been given to us into our community. So when we sit and wait for it to happen, we are not walking in who we're called to be. For too long, the church has been someone who has just came for a social function and came for a social gathering and just come to do business deals. That is not who we're called to be. Now, I will be the first one to tell you that all of my closest friends go to church here. All of the people I spend the most time with go to church here. I'm not saying my family goes to church here, both by blood and those who have adopted me as their own. They all are here, and that's where my connections are made. But with that said, that doesn't mean that I don't go out and minister within the community. That doesn't mean you don't minister to people. This is where you spend those where you have the primary time with them, but you go minister to everyone outside. Amen? So you have been anointed to operate as part of the ecclesia. Each and every one of you individually has been anointed to operate as part of the ecclesia, the governing body, the legislative assembly, the one who makes the law in the spirit, if you will. You have been anointed to be a part of this. So we have to be the ones who go out. We have to be the ones who step into our community. We have to be the ones who are holding the line. I am fully convinced that our place in the spirit that we hold makes an impact on this community that they aren't even aware of. But we have to make them aware that we are willing to pray for them. We're willing to speak into their lives. We're able to speak to the atmosphere of this community. We're willing to do everything that we're called to do in order to move forward the kingdom of God. Amen? So our goal should be for them to recognize us like they did the church in Antioch as the little anointed ones. The followers of Jesus were recognized as the little anointed ones. Why? Because they went about doing what he did. Because they went about talking like he talked. That's who we're called to be. This is your safe place to learn it, and then you go replicate it out there. When the anointing and the spirit begins to move on the inside of here, you begin to recognize it, and you begin to take part in it, and then you get to go participate out there. If you haven't been operating in the anointing, I encourage you, when we pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. When someone starts laughing, start laughing. When someone starts dancing, start dancing. When someone starts running, start running. Why? Because even if you start in the flesh, there will be a spiritual engagement that you will know that the Holy Ghost will take over. And when you're able to operate in a place where you shut your flesh down and just do what the Spirit tells you to do, that's when you're able to operate out there fully and completely. So Bill Johnson said He posted this yesterday. I thought it was so good. Jesus did not give us power and authority so we could sit in a pew and wait for the rapture. I was like, come on, somebody. Amen. If Jordan goes out of town for a week and I decide, yes, I'm just going to sit here and wait until he comes home, the kids can eat cereal and leave their bowls everywhere and we'll just let everything go crazy and eventually he'll come back and we'll get things in order. It's going to leave my household a wreck. If that's what we do in the body of Christ, if we just leave messes everywhere, we don't handle any discipline, we don't discipline ourselves, we don't do what we need to do, we don't go where we need to go, we don't say what we need to say, when he comes back, which he said he's coming back for a glorious bride, so I know this won't be a case, but it would leave the house a wreck. We've been called for a purpose. We've been called to step in as the body of Christ, to step in as the ecclesia and get things done. We must be bold, and no longer can we operate in just these four walls. We come, we learn, we experience, we enjoy, we recognize, and then we go out and we minister. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for every child of God sitting before me. Father, I thank you that you have placed an anointing on the inside of their life. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed an anointing on the inside of them. You've called them to a place, a plan, and a purpose. Father, I thank you that you wrote a book about them and who they are and what they're called to be. I thank you, Lord, that you've called them for such a time as this, that it is no mistake that they're in this service. It is no mistake that they're in this time. It is no mistake that they're listening to this message online. But, Father, you have called them for such a time as this to operate in the fullness of the anointing that you've placed on the inside of them. Father, we thank you that we are more keen going out in the streets to your Holy Ghost unction. We thank you that we resonate with that anointing on the inside of us, that our yes is your yes and our no is your no. Father, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And Father, we do believe that your Son is the anointed one, the Messiah. And we thank you, Lord, for his anointing that dwells in us. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.